scammers just love going after folks they think are going to trust them a little bit easier than everybody else. One of their top targets? Older Americans, 65 and older. I'm Jabalani LaFall, and on today's Central Standard, our Cash Money Click is back to talk about protecting seniors from becoming victims of money scams. Find out how you, or maybe your parents, your grandparents, or maybe even your great-grandparents can spot warning signs and create a protection plan. Plus, we'll talk about scams to watch out for and stories of financial abuse. If you've got stories of your own, we want to hear them. Join the conversation on Central Standard after this hour's news. This is Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. Most financial scams are easy to spot. Others are not so easy. And to help us with these conundrums, the Cash Money Click is in the house.
It's time now for financial planning advice with the Cash Money Crew.
That's right. Our financial advisors from the Financial Planning Association of Greater Kansas City are here. Joining us now, David Jackson of Waddell & Reed, Alex Petrovic of Petrovic Financial Services, and Sandy Weaver, a financial security advisor. What constitutes a full-blown scam versus just a bad product?
Well, I would say a full-blown scam is where it's an outright lie and there is no investment product behind it or no real service behind it. It's just a way to take money from somebody illegally, lying, and with no service or product behind it at all. Versus an unsuitable financial product that is legal but is not maybe appropriate for that individual at their time of life.
And, of course, we'll get into those distinctions during today's show. Do you concur, Sandy Weaver?
Yes, I believe there's, on the former, an intent to defraud.
There has to be an intent.
Absolutely. You know, when you think about, there are a lot of products out there, some that really fit a person's situation, some that don't. But there's some things that are just total frauds. And that's kind of what we're, you know, focusing on, and that'll be the distinction we'll have to discuss, too.
Are there any rules in the advisor circle about what constitutes a fraud? Like, what is the line?
Well, you know, we're a highly regulated industry, but then there is still some gray areas as far as, you know, what, you know, there's some just blatant scams out there. But then there are a lot of products out there that, you know, just don't fit a situation. And, you know, taking the elderly as the example when putting them in something that's really a long-term type of investment, locks their money up, in a lot of cases, that's just not right for the client.
We're having technical difficulties here on Central Standard with our live feed here. We're going to change studios, and we're going to go back to our announcer, Kim Noble, at this point. Situation we have here at Central Standard. You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 FM KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. We did a little conga line into a different production studio with that music you were just hearing. Sorry for the technical difficulties. We're back with our Cash Money Click of financial advisors from the Financial Planning Association of Greater Kansas City, David Jackson of Waddell & Reed, Alex Petrovic of Petrovic Financial Services, and Sandy Weaver of Financial Security Advisors. They get to sit a little closer to me now.
Hey, really cool. Hey.
Right. Kansas City, does something you've got in the mail seem too good to be true? Have you been a victim of financial scams? That's the order of today. Today, we're discussing financial scams and how to deal with them, how to spot them. 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also write into us at centralstandard@kcur.org. And our Twitter handle is @kcurcst. What's the motivation for a victim when they fall for a scam?
Lots of times they think they're looking for a higher return on their money, and they may want like a higher interest rate. And so they will sign up for something which really is unsuitable. It may lock up their money, and yet they still need access to it. But what sells them on the idea is the promise of a higher return.
Is that pretty much what it is, David?
Yeah, it's a shame that there are so many people out there that are into the get-rich quick scheme. And, you know, a lot of people feel like there's just something out there that's going to help them win the lottery, win, you know, hit something immediately. And they don't do their due diligence to find out if there's anything behind it or not. They're just hoping to make it rich quick.
But in other cases, Alex Petrovic,
I think
they're trusting.
Trusting, affection, partnership. I think older people, especially, I think we've seen older women, can be enticed because of someone sounds very friendly, very religious, very helpful. And that leads down to a slippery slope of losing money.
And older investors are the biggest targets for scams. Why is that, Sandy Weaver?
Well, I think it's easier to deceive them. I think they maybe perhaps come from a generation where, you know, relationships, you know, were built on trust. And yet today they're, you know, you really need to do your due diligence. You need to do your research. You need to do homework. It's more of a work effort, you know. And if you're not willing to do it, perhaps hire a third party who can do it on your behalf. But there's a conflict of interest.
One of the shocking statistics, David Jackson, is that some of these financial scams against older people are actually perpetrated by family members or close acquaintances. What's up with that?
Well, you know, older people sometimes don't want to recognize the fact that they're or don't want to admit that they're losing some of their faculties or abilities to figure things out. And so they are a little bit more gullible because they don't want to ask the questions for fear of feeling stupid or feeling, you know, inadequate. And so they'll kind of go along with it. And the family members know this. They know they can kind of take advantage of them, and they utilize those relationships to their advantage.
Locally in Kansas City, police say reported incidents of scams against elderlies have increased. So they're offering advice to seniors who are used to trusting others. And on the phone right now, we have Donald Bradley, who's written a recent story for the Kansas City Star about a local financial scam. Mr. Bradley, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So
good
tell
to be here.
So tell us what happened with this older lady.
Well, I think one of your previous speakers there was talking about was this generation, they are a trusting bunch. And she would fit right into that, that she was probably very reluctant to slam a phone down on somebody. Probably some of us would not be quite so reluctant to do that when we're busy cooking dinner, doing whatever, talking with kids or whatever. Somebody calls with some offer that we sense is bogus right away. We're not hesitant a bit to hang up the phone, but there is a generation that is reluctant to do that, and I think she would fall into that category. She talked to him. The longer she talked to him, these guys are good. You know, they are really good. They're good at schmoozing these people. They're good at bonding. They can find anything to bond, and she bonded with this guy, and they talked, and before you know it, she was writing a check.
The key is,
and it was a small check, but over time, he kept calling, they kept bonding, she kept writing checks, and before long, she was out about $15,000.
The key there, Donald, is in your opening line, she was lonely and he made her feel good. His words soothed her aching heart. He promised a couple of $1 million, jewelry, and a brand new Mercedes-Benz. He threw all these accoutrements in to entice her and did it over time. $15,000 of a retirement nest egg. How does something like that happen?
In her case, and again, I think one of your earlier speakers commented on the fact that this woman, she was living by herself, and quite frankly, maybe she shouldn't have been. She was in her home. Her husband had just died last November. They'd been married 60 years. And she perhaps should have had a little more guardianship than she was getting. And he just got to her. She was vulnerable. She was out there. And they, I'm sure you've talked about this on the program, that they are prey for these people who are out there. That's what they do. Now, whether this was an individual or, you know, when you talk to FBI, they'll say there's like call centers out there operating out of offices, and that's what they do. Just like they're selling, you know, siding for your house, they are out there hustling senior citizens. It's a business, and these guys are really good at it. They know how to schmooze. I get the impression they'd probably steal from their own grandparents.
We're on with Donald Bradley of the Kansas City Star. He's a reporter with the Star, did a recent story on scammers focusing on elderly victims. We have also in studio our Cash Money Click of Financial Advisors. We're talking about financial scams, and all of our guests are with the Financial Planning Association of Greater Kansas City, David Jackson of Waddell & Reed, Alex Petrovic of Petrick Financial Services, and Sandy Weaver of Financial Security Advisors. You know, people who grew up in the 30s, 40s, or 50s were generally raised to be polite and trusting, and con artists tend to exploit these traits. What can we do as advisors, as friends, as family members, as younger confidants to say, hey, hang up the phone, there's no Mercedes-Benz? What can we do, David Jackson?
Well, you know, you can educate all you want, but, you know, if somebody's living alone, I mean, I had an example myself, similar to what he described, where when I, early in my career, I did a lot of cold calling. And I remember cold calling this lady who, it turns out, she was in her 80s, and she gave me the impression that there were some things I could do to help her. And the more I talked to her, I finally realized that, she just wanted me to call because she just enjoyed talking to me. So I kind of disengaged with her just because I saw that there was really no opportunities to help her. But I do understand how easy, what kind of prey they are for, the unscrupulous out there.
Talk about the different investing ethics of people who lived during the Depression or lived during a bygone era. Financial situations were different. No FDIC, no SEC, no big Wall Street credit derivative scams, no sophisticated financial instruments, just a plain handshake and a smile. That era. Talk about that and how it makes for easy prey, Sandy Weaver.
Well, you used to have a much closer relationship. Take, for example, with your bank. You knew people who worked at your bank. A lot of us these days do not. Banks in the old days didn't, venture farther into the investment arena other than CDs. Banks these days, have their feet in lots of different things. What we do on our end, has differed quite as well, too. So you don't really have a one-on-one close relationship with an advisor these days like you did perhaps in the old days.
Alex Petrovic, what changed?
Well, I'm not sure about what's changed presently, but the older people are very susceptible to the word guarantee, number one. And if you can approach them with that aspect as a lead-in, with some sort of credentials, good or bad or true or false, then they're open ears. The guaranteed says a lot, although there may be no real guarantee behind it, or it could be very minimal.
Why are they suckers for the word guarantee?
Well, the older ones lived through the time when banks failed. Like you mentioned, there was no FDIC coverage. Mm-hmm. And so they know what it is for banks to close or their parents lost money. It wasn't just the stock market that people lost money. They lost money they had in the banks.
Most of these scams, David Jackson, go unreported. Why is that?
I think it's an embarrassment factor. If you've been ripped off, you blame yourself in a lot of cases more than you blame the person that scammed you. You're thinking, boy, I should have known better. I was stupid for that. So they don't want to, and they should. They should get the word out so that, the authorities can put a stop to it. But it's kind of a shame that the majority of scams don't get reported.
And what happens with those unreported scams, Sandy Weaver?
Well, you live with them. You take the loss. We have a client who had bought an index CD at a bank and didn't realize a couple years into it that she couldn't take the CD and pay off the mortgage as she wanted to. And we looked into it for her. We didn't realize she had bought it. We looked into it for her and realized, there's an 8% deferred sales charge. So that's a high price to pay, if you want to get the funds out. So it was and a definite reluctance to talk to us about the fact that she bought it.
Tell us what an index CD is.
Well, it's
right.
We don't deal a lot with them, but the attractive part of it is when interest rates are low, like they are now, you buy an index CD, and it's part of it is indexed to the S&P, the stock market. So it's supposed to go up on the upside, you know, with the stock market, but then there's no downside, you know, supposedly.
Right. So it's a certificate of deposit based on some type of pool of equity holdings.
Yes. Yeah. And it was a 10-year deal, you know, so it wasn't going to mature to 10 years. You couldn't pull it out in year two, you know, to go pay off the mortgage if you wanted. So.
Now our listeners will know that the index CD is not Finding Casey in the Sunshine Band. in alphabetical order in the record store.
No, you're right. You're right. It's not that.
You know, you hit on something really important, though, and that is that senior citizens typically rely on fixed rate instruments, very low interest bearing but guaranteed type of products. And now they're seeing their, using an example of CDs, they're seeing their returns on CDs going from maybe 7-8% a few years ago to maybe 0.5% now. And they're trying to figure out, okay, what else can I do? And so they may be a little bit more tempted to go into something that they don't understand, just trying to get a little bit greater yield on their money.
And with the amount of people retiring these days and in retirement, something like that can be very tempting.
Very tempting.
Yes.
Alex Petrovic, there's a wide range and a growing number of certifications in the financial world that deal with retirement advice. Talk about that.
Yeah, our own securities industry, FINRA, recently came out with a report that stated that there was like 142 different designations, in particular regarding retirement specialists or elderly specialists and so forth, and that it's just a real alphabet soup, and most of them really have no real long certification process or even a way to penalize these individuals if they do something unscrupulous or unethical. So it's in the the SEC, which Securities Exchange Commission, and FINRA both have no process for identifying, ranking, qualifying, or enforcing actions on these designations.
The FBI also says that Americans, among older Americans, they can be really poor witnesses in their own cases as well because they can't explain what actually happened to them, and that is a deterrent on reporting these cases as well. Sandy Weaver?
Well, that's true. It sometimes becomes a case of he said, she said. And especially if you don't, you know, have a great memory, which, you know, when you become senior status, you know, that starts going. I can attest to that some. you know, so it does. You feel uncomfortable and you, you know, start to question yourself what was said at that meeting and what you signed. And there's, you know, if you sign a 10-page document and there's a lot of fine print, they've got you. You know, so one of the things that you probably want to check out before you sign on those dotted lines is check out the person who's given you, you know, the sell recommendation. So if you're dealing with a broker, you can go to www.finra.org/brokercheck. If you're dealing with a registered investment advisor, you might want to call the SEC and check out their track record. For Kansas, it's 800-232-9580. In Missouri, it's 800-721-7996. For federal RIAs, it's 800-732-0330. But don't be afraid to take a couple days, call up, check out the advisor first before you sign anything.
And we'll have that information up on our website. If you missed the number, we'll have it up on our website later at kcur.org. We're talking to the Financial Planning Association members of Greater Kansas City, David Jackson of Waddell & Reed, Alex Petrovic of Petrovic Financial Services, and Sandy Weaver, whose voice you just heard, of financial security advisors. David Jackson, now might be a good point to help people differentiate what the difference is between an investment advisor and a broker.
Yes. And
talk about that.
I mean, it's really important for people to have a decent understanding of that because, as Alex was mentioning earlier, back in, you know, maybe 40, 50 years ago, only the rich people dealt with the stock market. And now, you know, the vast majority of people have some type of investments, you know. A stock broker, their job is to help you pick stocks, but a financial advisor is there to help guide you with your financial life. So we like to make the comparison of a general practitioner, your family doctor, you know, is going to do an overview of your vital signs and tell you, you know, you need to quit smoking, you need to go on a diet, you need to do this and that. A financial advisor is going to kind of guide you on, you know, maybe you should alter your retirement plans. You need to get more insurance for this or that, help you with tax planning strategies and things like that. So a financial advisor. Now, one of the things I want to go back to that Sandy was mentioning, though, just about anybody can call themselves a financial advisor. I mean, that's the sad thing in our industry is that whether you're a mortgage broker, an insurance agent, whatever, you can call yourself a financial advisor, and the general public really does not know the difference between a certified financial planner and just somebody who's trying to give you or sell you a financial product. So it gets really confusing for the general public. Now, and I will say the certified financial planning designation is one true designation of what makes a financial planner. It's not the only one, but that is one that a person can pretty much trust.
So anybody that can call themselves a financial advisor, essentially?
Yeah, essentially so, yeah. Yes.
If you're making a pitch to an individual.
Well, anybody, basically. You know, you can put up your shingle and just, you know, say, I'm a financial advisor. I'm Jackson Financial Planner, whatever. And it really may not have any meaning at all. You know, like I said, a certified financial planner means something. But there are a lot of people out there who are calling themselves financial advisors or financial planners, and there's really no meat to that bone.
Alex?
Yeah, the typical broker arrangement right now, you actually are making recommendations for a trade. And under the Certified Financial Planning Boards of Standards, you are making a recommendation that is always in the best interest of the client. And we're held accountable for that. It's called the fiduciary standard. And all CFPs, no matter what sort of firm they work for or whatever, are under that mantra of what's best for the client, the fiduciary standard, period. And we can be have our marks revoked.
We're talking about financial scams with David Jackson of Waddell & Reed, Alex Petrovic of Petrovic Financial Services, and Sandy Weaver of Financial Security Advisors. These are our Cash Money Click of financial advisors. We've just found out that anyone can say they're a financial advisor. So we're going to take a quick break, and I'll be checking the credentials of my guest while we're going on our quick break. Meanwhile, Kansas City, have you come across a money scam recently? We want your stories. 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. We'd like to hear your stories. You can also write in at centralstandard@kcur.org. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Central Standard. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. A new survey from the nonprofit group of Certified Financial Planners Board of Standards reports that the average senior citizen is victimized by financial abuse and loses more than $140,000 as a result, on average. We're joined today by our Cash Money Click of financial advisors from the Financial Planning Association of Greater Kansas City. Their credentials have checked out. It's David Jackson of Waddell & Reed, Alex Petrovic of Petrovic Financial Services, and Sandy Weaver of Financial Security Advisors. They're back once again. Kansas City, does something you got in the mail seem too good to be true, or have you been a victim of a financial scam? Do you think you're being scammed right now? Join the conversation, 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also write into us at centralstandard@kcur.org. Sandy Weaver, what are the types of scams that you've seen?
Oh, we've seen, for the parents of one of our clients, they were sold a deferred fixed annuity, which means they put almost everything they had except $10,000. They put almost everything they had and bought an annuity, but it didn't start to make payments back to them for 10 years, and they were in their 80s. You know, so that was an unsuitable investment. You know, and David's talked about this. It's a legal investment, but it's just unsuitable for them.
Scamming is a really pervasive thing going on out there. We got Keith in Olathe. Welcome to Central Standard, Keith in Olathe. Keith, welcome to the show. We don't have Keith. Looks like we don't have Keith. Well, Pam in Overland Park, welcome to Central Standard. We don't have Pam either.
Whoops.
Okay, let's go back to our Cash Money Click of financial advisors.
You know, one common scam that I've seen out there, it happened to my mother's best friend. And this is a real simple one that most people are familiar with. She got one of those letters saying, you have now won $1 million. And deep in the fine print, it said, if your numbers match, you have $1 million. But she didn't really focus on that. She just saw the part that said, you've won $1 million. And she went for about a year and a half convinced that she had $1 million coming, And after maybe 7 or 8 magazine subscriptions and other things that she bought into, you know, it finally hit her that she wasn't going to get this $1 million. But that's a real common one that the elderly fall for, not just the elderly.
Wow. Alex Petrovic, what examples of financial scams
have you seen? Yeah, I have several. Probably not time to talk about them. And even in my own family, a call came late at night and said that my son was in jail in Mexico, and he was embarrassed to call me. So would this grandparent or uncle or whoever, would they please send the money? And this person in his late 80s felt really bad that this was the middle of the night that he couldn't help. And, in fact, didn't even tell us for several days that, in fact, that he didn't help that night. So the key, I think, for elderly people is please to have other younger people to help them. Family members first, if they can be trusted, but to reach out for another ear when they get these kind of calls, or just hang up.
Many of these scams can last for years. Why do they last for years? Someone gets the confidence of an older individual and just bilks them slowly over years. How does that happen, Sandy Weaver?
I think that goes back to what the Kansas City Star reporter Donald Bradley was referring to. They build a relationship, and the elderly wants the contact. So.
And many of these scams aren't actually about financial products sometimes. Sometimes they're about medical equipment scams or health and wellness, quote-unquote, air quotes I'm using here in the studio, seminars, or health insurance, or anti-aging cream, a free lunch. Talk about those, David.
Well, you know, I think you have to stick with that mantra. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is, you know, because I just go back to there's really no free lunch. So you get these dinner invitations, you know, come hear this great presentation and get a nice steak dinner. Remember, they're trying to sell you something. They're not giving you lunch just because they want to buy you lunch. They're trying to sell you something. So, you know, go into those kind of things. And I'm not saying all those dinner type of meetings are scams. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying be mindful that when you get that invitation just out of the blue to come to this dinner, the only reason they're inviting you is because they're trying to sell you something.
And if I could tack on to that, one of the things I think is one of the best advice is be direct and be honest and simply ask who's ever trying to sell you something, what do you get from this transaction? You know, how are you compensated? There is no free lunch. So it's not taboo to talk about that.
Keith, we have you in Olathe.
Yes.
Welcome to the show, Keith.
I wanted to talk about a scam that my parents just were scammed with just 2 weeks ago. They got a call from supposedly their grandson, who was in jail in Mexico needing money for bail. And he told them not to tell anybody, but they were to wire several thousand dollars for him to be able to get out.
Wow. Alex Petrovic actually just talked about that scam. Were you involved in that scam, Alex Petrovic?
No, I wasn't.
What's your son calling in?
That apparently is a common one. How did they find out that this wasn't true, Keith?
Another relative had heard it on a news program that there was a scam, but it was very insidious. They said, rather than saying the name of the grandson, they said, "Grandpa, do you know who this is?" Well, he responded with the name of a grandson, and he said, "Yeah, that's who it is." So they were kind of fishing for information, but they're good at doing that. And fortunately, he sent one wire transfer of $2,000, but was stopped by other relatives before the second one was done. So just wanted to warn grandparents that somebody may be calling on behalf of their grandkids.
Wow. You want to add something to that, Alex?
Well,
you recently went to that.
Yeah, that was with my relative, and it was the same way. You know, "Grandpa, do you know who this is?" And then he says, "Well, I think it's you." "Yeah, that is me, and I'm in trouble, and I can't tell my dad. Will you please help me?"
Wow, wow. Cynthia in Prairie Village, welcome to Central Standard.
Yes, thank you. I'm with ING Financial Partners. I'm a registered investment advisor, and I really love this program because you really emphasize how people need to be very leery. But I want to ask something, too, is that recently on one of the premium channels, they had a program called Chasing Bernie Madoff, and they're describing how what it took for this man to finally come to justice. And what's sad thing about it is it was five people working 10 years trying to bring this man down, getting the attention of the SEC. And the sad thing is SEC didn't really bring him down. It was the market itself. So I guess what I'm saying is that you don't have to be elderly to be scammed by a con artist. I mean, this man was very successful scamming people of all ages, all cultural backgrounds, and all economic standards.
Thank you very much, Cynthia, for pointing that out. We do live in the age of financial scams and malfeasance. So why does it keep happening?
Easy money. Easy money. And, you know, she makes a great point. It's like it would have been so hard for somebody to figure out that Bernie Madoff was doing what he was doing. It would have been really hard. He was really good, from what I understand, about creating statements that people would read and believe in. And he had a lot of credibility from his background. The flag out there was when the market was tanking and everybody else was losing money, he was still making money. And so you go back to that, if it sounds too good to be true, why am I still making money when everybody else is losing money? Something just don't sound right about that. But his would have been hard to figure out for the average individual.
Moving to the more complex investment schemes, isn't it true that perhaps when you start losing returns is when you actually know you've been taken? You start out getting these higher returns and everything's okay until you start losing money or you can't get your advisor on the phone. Isn't it too late by then?
Well, you know, a lot of times that's when it gets exposed, is you're getting these artificial statements saying you're making all this money, and so it feels good. And then when you go to take some money out, you know, in most Ponzi schemes, the early people who are asked to take money out, they're okay because that they're getting money from the new investors. And then eventually those things implode because the more people that take money out, eventually the well runs dry. You know, so it gets tricky.
Add to that the Ponzi. He hits it on the Ponzi schemes. They do last because the people up front get money and then they refer to friends. So it's those referrals from friends that can really torpedo the clients on the back end. So I would say, first off, be sure you get enough referrals. And then secondly, it's who you're writing the check to. For the most of us regular people, we write a check to, if you're in the investment business, maybe it's to Schwab or Fidelity or American Century. But we've had people write checks to us. And we say, no, we can't take the check. And I know of an instance way back where an advisor had the older clients write the check to him. Then he would go to Vegas, play the money, and then come back and then put the money in the market where it's been. And it worked for several years until he lost his shirt in Vegas. And then the company, luckily, it was a local company, I won't mention their name, they made good on all the money that was lost. But who you write the check to is a good starting point.
Yeah, should I be the larger institution? We are governed by the cash custody rule. We're not allowed to take checks directly from clients.
So you guys indemnify yourselves from any potential fraud or the appearance of impropriety by not taking checks directly to Sandy Weaver, Alex Petrovic, or David Jackson.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
We're going to go to Oscar in Midtown. Oscar, welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you. I got called it's been about a month ago. And, of course, I know someone else that's been scammed about 2 years ago that had. They would never tell me how much I got hit for, but before they got through, they were getting 20 the last time. They got 27 calls in one day from them, and they had threatened to, they pretended they were the FBI, and they were going to put him in prison, for him and his wife in prison for life if they didn't pay some more. And I never did really find out. He would never tell me how much he lost. So I knew about it when they called me about a month ago. They started out by telling me I had a check for $2.5 million over at Western Union.
At Western Union?
Could, yeah.
Wow.
That I could go over to the Western Union and pick it up if I... And they started telling me about... they wanted to know if I knew about Reader's Digest giveaways and that. And I said, I'd never heard of Reader's Digest. And I also told them, because I knew what I was involved in. And then they asked me if I knew about that other one that gives the magazines and that, that gives away the so-called millions of...
Publishers Clearinghouse.
The Clearinghouse and that. And I said, no, I really don't know whether I've heard of them or not.
So what you're saying is that you were hip to the scheme. You didn't fall for it.
No, I didn't fall. I just kind of dumbed up. I should have taken them maybe a little bit farther. But I knew she was getting ready to tell me about what I was going to have to do to get this $2.5 million. And I kind of hung up on her, but I should have carried her a little further and tried to find out an address where I was going to mail this check to or something like that, which I didn't do. But my friend that got hooked about 2 years ago, he didn't ever tell me how much he got hooked for, but I know he got hooked for quite a bit because it went on for over 6 months. And they kept getting him, you know, hitting him, and he was sending them checks until his son got involved with them. And they went to the Secretary of State and turned it in. But he had to have his phone disconnected because, like I said, he got 27 phone calls one day, and they were all threatening, too.
Wow. Oscar, thank you for calling in and giving us your anecdotes about financial scams. We are talking financial scams today. Our guests are David Jackson of Waddell & Reed, Alex Petrovic of Petrovic Financial Services, and Sandy Weaver of Financial Security Advisors. They are also collectively known as our Cash Money Clique of Financial Advisors, and they are all members of the Certified Financial Planners of Greater Kansas City. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. This is Central Standard. This is 89.3 FM KCUR. We are streaming live on KCUR.org. Kansas City, have you come across a money scam recently, gotten a call from any African kings or any Chinese emperors offering you $2.5, $1 million or a new Mercedes-Benz? Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also write into us at centralstandard@kcur.org. We're going to go to Teresa in the Plaza area. Teresa, welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you. I actually have a couple things that I want to share with everyone. One, my mother-in-law, who is 90 years old, received a telephone call from supposedly a Medicare representative talking to her that she needed to get her new card and she didn't want to let her Medicare lapse, et cetera, and proceeded to be very insistent that they wanted bank name, routing numbers, and so forth. And unfortunately, she gave them the bank information, but as soon as she did it, she said, "I knew I messed up," and she called us, and we were able to intercept anything that could have happened. So fortunately, she did not lose anything there. And the second thing, the scammers are getting, you know, as your guests have said, very good at what they do. Last week, we received a business-size envelope in the mail. In the return address, it had the Sears logo, as in Sears, the retail store, and it looked very legitimate, and I thought it was some sort of a promotional thing, perhaps. Opened it up, and inside, there was a letter, and there was a check, and the check was drawn on Southeast Missouri State University. It actually had a 9-digit routing number on there, and I believe it was for maybe $3,900 or something. And then when I proceeded to look at the letter had come from somewhere in the UK, and it explained the process you needed to go through. After you called, then you would be allowed to cash the check and obtain more funds, etc. But then I went back to the envelope, and on the envelope, in the return address, it had been postmarked in Canada. So, of course, we immediately knew that the whole thing was a big scam. But, you know, when the logos look right and things look good on there, people are going to fall for those things.
So there's no way, Teresa, that a Canadian at a British embassy who had been shopping at Sears and whose son had attended Southeast Missouri State University could have been a legit situation for you. No way that could have been possible.
I was thinking probably not.
But you never know, and that's the whole thing of financial scams. Let's go to JR in Midtown. Welcome to Central Standard, JR.
Thank you, Jeff. Well, I had a good show this morning. This happened about 40 years ago. My grandmother was doing some estate planning and that sort of stuff, and so five of us grandchildren wound up as tenants in common with her on some resort property down in by Lake Table Rock. And out of the blue, she gets a call from a guy who just had the best deal that she ought to invest in. So I went as her agent, And when I got down there, and they took me around a place where there was some development work going on, but not a whole lot. There were roads with no houses. And when the guy's car was worse of a beater than the car that I had my suspicions. And just the rest of the statements that he made to me, you know, were just so incredible for this time-sharing that we were supposed to be buying. I knew that it wasn't true. And, you know, basically they get information still these days the old-fashioned way by looking at legal records.
Thank you, JR, for your comments. We're seeing a thread here. We're seeing a common thread here. One is, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. Two, there are a lot of scams, particularly with older Americans, that occur by phone, the old-fashioned way.
Well, talk about the ones that are being done on email now, because on the Internet, they can send out millions of solicitations in a second's notice. And so you got millions of people seeing these great offers, and it only takes one or two that say, oh, that sounds good, let me look into it, and they buy into it.
And it usually is the one or two.
Yeah, that's all it takes.
So, I knew somebody in Ghana.
Yeah.
Right, uh-huh. Right. We got Susan in Overland Park. Susan, welcome to Central Standard.
Hi, thank you. I have a question about if you have an arrangement, most of your investments with a single certified financial planner for which you are charged a fixed fee, then when you do new transactions, say, you know, move money from one fund to another mutual fund or to an annuity, does the certified financial planner get an additional profit from that or not, generally, when you have fixed fee investments?
It depends, but it should be no, or it should be disclosed. If it's a certified financial planner, it must disclose any new fees. But if it's in a managed account of mutual funds and there is a fixed fee, the thought is there that no, there should be no trading or no other costs because the planner is getting a fixed fee. But hey, guess what? Ask the person directly.
Yeah, because if you're going into a totally different product, if you're going from a managed account into a fixed annuity or into a variable annuity that's a totally separate product, yeah, the advisor may be getting another fee, but yeah, the client needs to have the courage to just ask. It's like, do you get paid for this? How much do you get paid for this? It's nothing wrong with asking that
thank
question.
Thank you, Susan, for calling in with your question, and thank you, financial planners, for clarifying that. And speaking of which, that's a good segue to let's go from the illegal and downright slimy to maybe just the unscrupulous or unethical. What are some financial products that some advisors try to push on older people or people who are gullible, susceptible, that they might not need? Upselling financial products. We talked about the indexed CD earlier, Sandy mm-hmm. Weaver. What are some other products that people find themselves pushed upon for extra fees?
Annuities can be one, particularly fixed annuities, especially if they have a long lockup period, a deferred annuity that doesn't start paying out. You know, if you're in your 80s, you probably ought not to be looking at an annuity that won't pay for another 10 years. You know, so a lot of those are inappropriate.
And how would they squeak something like that past you, an annuity that won't pay for another 8 to 10 years if you're already 80?
Well, because it's like Alex referred to a little bit back, they mentioned the term guaranteed return, you know, guaranteed base rate that your interest will accumulate. So all of those buzzwords, you know, you start focusing on those. And again, you know, I'd encourage you to ask a third party, you know, and ask directly about, you know, how the compensation is structured.
I'd like to add just recently the Department of Insurance in Missouri just ruled against a major national company that I won't mention, but you can go on the website and have offered people the opportunity to get all of their money back that they put into these products that were sold over the last 10 years. So you can go to their website, the Department of Insurance, and see if that might you've been a part of that. So and they were basically real products, just sold were the suitability, which is the key word. It wasn't really suitable to the client. Generally, an older person with long deferral periods, and they didn't know what they were getting.
Yeah, let me give you an example of something that I witnessed just recently. Is a client of mine. Well, her husband died. And so his advisor said, well, we need to do something with his account. And she told him, this is what she told me anyway, that she just wanted to park the money somewhere temporarily until she got over mourning and, you know, figured out what she wanted to do with the rest of her life. And so she thought he was just going to park the money in a money market or something, you know, just really liquid. He put her in an annuity that had an 8-year surrender charge, which meant she was going to suffer penalty for doing anything different with that money in those 8 years. Fortunately, when I sat down with her, we were within that 30-day free look period, and we were able to get her out of it once we figured out what she had done. But, you know, she was in mourning. She didn't know. So there are people that are actually credentialed that are somewhat unscrupulous, too. So, you know, it does pay for the senior citizens and everybody to ask questions and get somebody else. If you're not sure what you're doing, get somebody else involved.
Here's one common mainstream financial product that a lot of older people are offered: reverse mortgages. When is that a good idea, or when is that a bad idea?
Anybody?
Is it ever a good idea?
I'd say a last resort, it might be a decent option.
Yeah, it could.
Last resort. No money, very poor cash flow, and they can get money out of their house, out of their principal while they're living. But please get some other family members and professionals involved. But they are.
But not as a way to generate cash. This isn't a last resort.
This is a last resort.
Yeah. If you have no other assets to live on, then that's an option to look at. But you'd want to shop around and, as Alex says, get advice.
Then why are such reverse mortgages so pervasive in that elderly community?
Well, you know, they are being marketed really heavily, and it is a new product. And, you know, you know, if you look on the surface, it does have some validity. You're thinking, oh, okay, I got all this money locked up in my house in terms of equity. Why can't I use my own money without selling my house? And so it does sound really attractive to people. And there may be some instances where it does make sense. But for the most part, you know, you know, be really cautious.
And
with
it's popular
like that.
Because a lot of elderly people are broke and expenses have gone up. So it's a legitimate product used correctly is okay.
Let's get a roundup from our panelists here. What would be your number one advice to avoid scams, briefly?
Oh, gosh, just get be careful who you write the check to. Bring somebody else involved. Question it. Referrals and whatnot.
David Jackson?
You know, I've said this several times already. But if it sounds too good to be true,
I'll say it again.
Yeah, right. I will say it again. If it sounds too good to be true, steer clear, or at least do a little extra research.
Sandy Weaver, what are your parting advice to our guests?
Well, ditto my two associates here, but also the CFP Board has a Consumer Guide to Financial Self-Defense. You can Google that and get a copy of it.
A Consumer Guide to Financial Self-Defense. We'll have that up on our website at kcur.org. For your later perusal, our Cash Money Click of financial advisors from the Financial Planning Association of Greater Kansas City are David Jackson of Waddell & Reed, Alex Petrovic of Petrovic Financial Services, and Sandy Weaver of Financial Security Advisors. Thank you all for coming and doing this conga line and talking about scams, and we'll love to have you back.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy it.
And tune in tomorrow when we find out why beautiful flowers such as orchids can bring out the worst in people. Our show is produced by Tamika Weatherspoon. Up to Date is next with an exploration of decoding political rhetoric. Special thanks to Up to Date producer Steven Steigman and Kim Noble on today's festivities. I'm Javelani LaFall. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your day.